Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll continue to follow the downfall of Judah as we pick up today's lesson in 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 9. And now here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
And the children of Israel did secretly those things which were not right against Jehovah their God. Began these secret practices. And they built them high places in all of their cities. And even from the little places where they would meet in the towers out in the fields, where the watchmen would watch the fields, to the fenced cities or the walled cities. In all of these places, they had these places of worship for the pagan practices. And they set up images and this Asherim. And as we said before, this Asherim was the goddess of sex. It was the Ashtoreth of the Babylonians and the Aphrodite of the Greeks. And the Venus of the Romans, the goddess of sex, the goddess of love, and sexual pleasures. And the Asherim, the goddess of sex, was worshipped with all types of horrible, lewd, lascivious sexual rites, which could not even be mentioned in mixed company. But you read some of the rites, the sexual rites accompanying the worship of Asherim, and you realize how horribly deplorable, how unspeakably evil the inventive mind of man can be when it's turned in the wrong direction. And on every high hill and under every green tree, where you have sex without commitment, sex without love, sex for sex's sake, then sex becomes empty and meaningless, and the children that might be born are a tragic mistake, and they're an inconvenience, and you want to get rid of them. So the worship of Asherim always was followed by the worship of Molech and Baal, where they offered the children as human sacrifices. It was a way of getting rid of the unwanted babies, by offering them as a sacrifice to your God. The Supreme Court, first of all, opened the doors to pornography, the worship of Asherim. In opening the doors to the pornography, where women were reduced again to a sex object, and the courts opening the door and saying it's perfectly permissible, it's another form of art, and removing the laws that had been there for our protection, having inflamed the passions and then having declared the freedom of sexual activity, that as long as you're a consenting adult, anything goes, do what you want. Removing the restrictions of sexual activity that had once been laws. It results in a lot of unwanted pregnancies. So when you've got an unwanted pregnancy, you've got a child that's not wanted, what do you do? Well, you've got to now take down more barriers. Let's worship Molech. Let's sacrifice the children. And so the Supreme Court opened up the doors to abortion. It would be a little abhorrent for us to take a live baby and place it on the glowing hot arms of a little idol. And so we take the live baby while it is still within the womb and we inject the saline solution which burns it there in the womb and causes the abortion. And 1,500,000 babies every year are offered as sacrifices unto Molech, the god of pleasure, by the people here in the United States. Now, for this cause, God destroyed Israel. Do you think that God can look upon us and the things that we are now allowing and doing in this nation and just allow us to get by with it? I think not. I believe that our nation is ripening for the judgment of God. The very practices by which these other nations were gradually destroying themselves, the things that God tried to keep his people from being infected with, they were infected. They began to do them. And thus God used Assyria as his instrument of judgment to destroy Israel. You can't just mock God, the laws of God. You can't scoff at God. If you want to turn your back and turn away from God, you're going to have to pay the price. You can't escape it. It's serious business. So they burnt incense in all of these high places. Verse 11, they did as the heathen whom the Lord had carried away from before them. And they wrought the wicked things to provoke Jehovah to anger. And they served idols, whereof Jehovah had said to them, you shall not do this thing. God had made a covenant. They broke the covenant. God said, you shall have no other gods before me. You're not to make any idols, images, graven images, any likenesses of things in heaven or on the earth to bow down to them and to worship them. And yet Jehovah testified against Israel and against Judah by all of the prophets. It wasn't that God just says, okay, that's it, cut them off. For 240 years, God dealt with them. For 240 years, God stretched out his arms. For 240 years, God said, don't do that. You're going to destroy yourself. But they turned their backs upon God and upon his prophets and upon the seers who said to them, turn from your evil ways. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes according to your law, which I commanded your fathers when I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. God sent the prophets with his warning, with his word, to return to God, to turn away from their evil ways, to keep the commandments of God. And notwithstanding, they would not hear, but they hardened their necks like the neck of their fathers that did not believe in Jehovah their God. They just hardened themselves to God, to the word of God, to the prophets of God. In Proverbs, we read in the 29th chapter, he that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Harden your heart to God. Harden your neck to God. Become stiff and rigid in your attitude towards God. I'm going to do what I want to do, and stiffen your neck. God will move with severity and with finality. And they rejected his statutes, the covenant that he had made with them, and his testimonies. He had warned them about these things. Go back and read again Deuteronomy 32. His testimonies which he testified against them. He warned them of these very things. And they followed after the emptiness or the vanity, and they became vain, which is always the result of following vanity, following emptiness. You're just going to become empty. And oh, the empty life in this world apart from Jesus Christ, the emptiness of the sex experience outside of marriage, the emptiness of success, the emptiness of the world. Following after emptiness, they became empty. And they went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of Jehovah their God, and they made the molten images, even two calves. And they made the Asherim, these goddesses, these images, these nude images of the female body. And they worshiped all the host of heaven. They began to follow after astrology, seeking guidance and all from the influence of the stars and all upon their lives. They worshiped the host of heaven and they served Baal, the god of the intellect. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. That is, they burnt them in their pagan rituals to Molech. And they used divination and enchantments. They got into spiritism. They got into satanic worship. They got into the occult. They got into witchcraft, seeking to use these supernatural powers of evil against others, the divinations and enchantments, and they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore, and therefore is always that concluding, you know, because of this, therefore, Jehovah was very angry with Israel, and he removed them out of his sight. And there was none left but the southern tribe of Judah only. The nation of Israel was removed, carried away as captives to Assyria. And so it'll be easier for us because we don't have to follow Israel anymore through the text and keep the king straight. But it's tragic history for a nation that had such potential and possibility to end up destroyed. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of Jehovah their God, but they walked in the statutes of Israel. And unfortunately, the same thing that brought the destruction on Israel now was infecting Judah. Ahaz, the king, is doing evil in the sight of the Lord, leading Judah in the same path. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel. He afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, their king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, and they departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all of his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day, gone out. Now the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Kuttah and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim, and he placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. In the Assyrian records again of Shalom during his reign said they brought 22,242 out of Samaria and placed them in this particular city of Assyria. But they repopulated the area with people from other territories, and that was the practice of the Assyrians. In order to demoralize people completely, to keep them from rebelling, they would move whole segments of the population to other areas. And then they would bring people from other areas and plant them here. So you're in a strange place, and you have to learn how to make a living here. And you have to learn the practices to just survive here. And you're so busy just surviving, you don't have it in your mind to, let's get together and let's rebel. It's just a matter now of survival. But at the beginning of these other nations dwelling here, these people that came to dwell in Samaria, that were brought by the Assyrians, they didn't reverence Jehovah. They didn't worship Jehovah. They feared not Jehovah. Therefore, Jehovah sent lions among them, which slew some of them. They weren't familiar with the area, and they weren't used to lions, and the lions began to attack them and began to kill them. Therefore, they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, "The nations which you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria don't know the manner of the God of the land. And therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they're killing them because they don't know the manner of the God of the land." In other words, man, we don't know how to survive here. We don't know, you know, what the God is like, and he's sent these lions. And so the king of Assyria commanded, saying, "Carry thither one of the priests whom you brought from there, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and he taught them how that they should also worship the Lord, or Jehovah, how they should fear, reverence Jehovah. Howbeit, every nation made the gods of their own, and they put them in their houses and on the high places which the Samaritans had made, and every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in the fire to Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of the Sepharvim. And here's an interesting paradox. So they feared Jehovah, but they made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared Jehovah and served their own gods. Isn't that an interesting paradox? So we learn about Jehovah, that he's there. We reverence him. We give him his place. But we really serve our other gods. I wonder how many people are like that today. They reverence Jesus. You know, they celebrated Thanksgiving. I watched a sort of a news program the other night, and this reporter was saying, what part do you think God has in Thanksgiving? Oh, he has a part. Yeah, he's there somewhere, you know. Feared Jehovah, but they served their own gods. The real God was pleasure or possessions. They served these things, though they acknowledge, reverence Jehovah, reverence Jesus, acknowledge Jesus. He'll have a place in Christmas, small as it may be. Oh, second to Santa Claus, of course. They serve their own gods, though they fear Jehovah. It's a strange paradox, but it is one of the things of human nature. All too common. People who have a place for Jesus, but not first place. People who believe in Jesus, but he isn't the Lord of their lives. People who desire salvation, they desire Jesus as Savior, but they don't want him as Lord. Fear Jehovah, fear Jesus, reverence Jesus, but you serve your own gods. There's something else at the center of your heart. There is another master passion that governs your life, though you believe in Jesus and reverence him. The paradox. They served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they had carried away from there. And unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not Jehovah, neither do they after their statutes or their ordinances or after the law and the commandment which Jehovah commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not reverence the other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. You're not to do that. That's the covenant. I must be your God exclusively, solely. You cannot have these other gods. But Jehovah, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you worship or fear, and him shall you worship, and to him shall ye do your sacrifices. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not reverence these other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall you reverence the other gods. Over and over, these were the commandments, but these are the very things the people broke. But Jehovah your God, you shall reverence. He will deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken. They did after their former manner. And so these nations feared Jehovah and served their graven images, both their children, their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. And unfortunately, we can say, and so many do, even unto this day. Reverence the Lord, but follow other gods, serve other gods.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study of 2 Kings in our next lesson, as we continue to follow the reign of Hezekiah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Kings. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
The Lord bless you, fill you with His love, guide you with His Spirit, keep you in the power of His Spirit, that you might be a light shining in a dark world, that you might stand forth as a servant of Jehovah, not just the reverence or the acknowledging, the serving of the Lord our God. May He be with you and bless you and keep you in all ways. In Jesus' name.
I've got some exciting news to share with you. The Word for Today is releasing Pastor Chuck and Kay's books in ebook format. For those who like to read books electronically, you can now download Pastor Chuck's books to your Kindle reader, iPad, iPod, or even cell phone. What a blessing to be able to have these resources with you at all times, especially when you're in a place to minister to another person. If you have an e-reader, then you know the advantage of being able to search, find, and minister within seconds. And with all of Pastor Chuck and Kay's insights into biblical wisdom, this is a great opportunity to be able to gain from their books so you can share the good news with others. If you would like more information on how to download Pastor Chuck and Kay's ebooks, you can call the Word for Today customer service department at 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.